Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
It's Friday, it's 2 American. In the afternoon, and where's the best place to be? American. Right here on Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with my debonair co-host. Here we go. Am I back up? Can anyone hear me out there? I got dumped. Mike, are we back up? Mike? Can anyone hear me? I got no sound.
Can you hear me, Mike? Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Well, for some reason, I've lost sound. I hope I'm on the air. And who am I speaking to?
This is Angela Regis. Yes. Hi.
Hi. For some reason, BTR just knocked everyone off the air. And
it's quiet for a little bit.
Well, thanks a lot to the great technology of Blog Talk Radio. And as I was starting to say, I hope everyone can hear us back now again. I want to welcome everyone into the chat room, and hopefully my co-host will be able to call back in, because it looks like he got dumped too. Want to remind everyone, they can find us on teapartycommunity.com. If you do not like Facebook because of all the games they play, go to teapartycommunity.com. It works exactly like Facebook, but without all the BS. They can also find a simulcast up on Kinetic Hi-Fi out of Charleston, South Carolina. And this week we have been picked up by Patriot Radio. So I want to say welcome to everyone here. So, Angela, we're going to be back with you in just a second. I'm going to do a dedication to our fallen hero, and then we'll go live with you and Cindy. And
I'm here incidentally. I was talking when we lost you, Annie, but I had my mute button on, so obviously just wasted a few minutes. But anyway, great forever. I want to welcome everyone before you go into the dedication from Patriot Radio. And for those who don't know, because Annie is so rebellious in her Beaufort County meetings, we are on Kinetic Hi-Fi. She is turning that place upside down. And tonight's show is going to be about the women who are going to turn the Michigan House upside down. Annie?
Okay. Well, this is going to go out to a fallen hero out of Michigan. And today's dedication is going to Army Sergeant Amanda Mandy Sheldon, who died October 7th of 2010 from the effects of PTSD. And this is from... MLive is this article from Fayetteville, North Carolina. With just another year to go in the Army, 24-year-old Sergeant Amanda Sheldon had her sights set on attending Duke University for a medical career. The Belding area native wanted to be a physician's assistant. Her life was cut short, however, after she was found unresponsive in her off-base residency, and she died at Fayetteville, North Carolina Hospital. Family members say her death is not considered suspicious, but they had determined it was a result of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Sheldon was a 2004 graduate of Belding High School, and her mother and stepfather, Renee and Gary Orcutt, live in the Ada area. She was a unit supply sergeant with the 18th Fire Brigade, 82nd Airborne Division, which was based at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. She had been deployed in Kuwait during the Iraq War, returning in July 2009, and was expected to ship out for a year-long deployment in Afghanistan at the end of that month. Amanda loved her Army career, and she was proud of serving her country, said Wendy Sheldon, an aunt. Sheldon described her niece as a soft-spoken and sweet, but very tough, and said she enjoyed running. She kind of ribbed her middle-aged aunts and uncles about staying in shape. She was into fitness, and she loved to go out dancing, and she loved music, Sheldon said. Amanda Sheldon recently returned to the Grand Rapids area for a week so family members can throw her a going-away party before her deployment. Liz Murray, a good friend of Amanda Sheldon, described her as a determined person who worked hard to attain the rank of sergeant. She earned a commendation medal for her efforts in the War on Terror. She became very successful in the Army, Murray said. Outside of the military, Sheldon was a huge Michigan State University fan who took good care of herself and made others laugh. She was very full of life. And this is from a tribute to a fallen soldier posted on Katie's Mind. She wrote, "Last night I was watching the news and learned of the suicide of Sergeant Amanda Sheldon, a young female soldier from Michigan. Her devastated mother was interviewed about her daughter. Her mother truly wanted to let soldiers know that having a hard time and dealing with depression is okay to seek help. What happened to Amanda is a tragedy, and I was touched by her mother as any mother would be. I felt a need to share this young woman's plight with other people in the hope that more can be done for these soldiers. At some time during her military career, Amanda was given a date rape drug and raped by a supervisor. I want to add here that I was watching Oprah," Katie writes, "and she had a show about homeless female veterans, and Tammy Duckworth said that 1 in 3 female soldiers are assaulted in the military. The suspect was discharged from the Army and was convicted, but Amanda's problems didn't stop there. She did seek counseling. Later, when she was up for promotion, military personnel wanted to know why she needed counseling. This must have made Amanda feel that the military deemed her a weakness, and she never went in for counseling again, and she suffered dearly for it." This show is dedicated to all our heroes, especially young women like Amanda Sheldon. And this was left on her, in loving memory, Facebook page to Amanda Ann Sheldon. It's a poem by Alfred Tennyson. Be near me when my light is low, when the blood creeps and the nerves prick, and tingle and the heart is sick, and all the wheels of being slow. Be near me when the sensuous frame is racked with pains that conquer trust, and time a manic scattering dust, and life a fury slinging flame. Be near me when my faith is dry, and men the flies of later spring that lay their eggs and sting and sing, and weave their petty cells and die. Be near me when I fade away, to the point, the term of human strife, and on the low, dark verge of life, the twilight of eternal day. By Alfred Tennyson. We dedicate this show to heroes like Amanda, to all the brave men and women who have served, who are serving, and who will serve to fight and protect our freedom. And remember those who suffer from PTSD. God bless them all.
Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flames. Others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name,
My Name is America by Todd Ellen. Oh, what a great, great song. Annie,
absolutely.
I love that song. And
absolutely.
Great tribute
I got,
to a...
I think I got my mic back up. Do I?
Yes. You're going.
Oh,
you're,
good.
We can hear you perfectly. And also, just a quick note, Amanda was not really a personal friend, but her family is a friend. And there's nothing like losing. We watch on TV and we think that's really tragic. There's nothing like being in that family or knowing that family. And something like this, depression and postpartum is something that is overlooked so often, that we have to remember that people at such young ages put themselves in harm's way for us, that when they get back, that's when we need to take care of them the most.
Yeah,
such a beautiful
true.
Lady. She was, God, look at her. She could have been a model. I mean, she's as
yes.
beautiful as the ladies we're about to bring on the air, I should say.
I just want to make one little note, though, because this is something I've been plugging on each one of the shows. A friend of mine, Candy Seeley, sent me a message on Facebook a while back, but I want to hammer this home. There is a con man going around calling veterans, saying that he's from the VA. He's impersonating a federal agent. The name he uses is Conrad Hawkins. He may have changed it, but if anyone knows of a veteran, or if anyone who is a veteran out there gets a phone call from area code 321-406 or 901 that asks you personal questions like your date of birth, your Social Security number, or anything like that, it is identity theft. Report the call. Just let all your friends know. Anyone out there that's connected with a veteran in any shape or form, please let them know this con man is out there. And I hate to tell you what my doctor said the other day, because he himself happens to be an Army veteran, and he happens to be a surgeon who served in the battlefield. And when I mentioned it to him, because he handles a lot of veterans, I cannot repeat what he said. I could not say it to the right company on the air. But there were certain
sure
body parts he wanted to excise, and not too gently.
Oh, boy. Anyway, let's kick off the show. First, bring in a lady from St. Joe's, Michigan. That is on Lake Michigan. For those who don't know, that's probably an hour or an hour and a half northeast of Chicago. And Cindy Durant. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
Great to have you. Annie, this is Cindy. Cindy, tell us real quick a little bit about yourself and why you are making a bid for the Michigan House of Representatives.
Okay. Well, I'm a lifelong resident of Michigan, actually of Bering County, which encompasses my district, the 79th district. I actually helped campaign for my opponent the last time around because I believed what he said, that he was a conservative, limited government, fiscal conservative legislator, and he proved that he was not. He voted for Medicaid expansion. He actually has his name on the bill. He voted for Common Core, and the last rating he just got from an organization that tracks the votes of legislators related to taxpayer issues, he got a 33% out of 100. So we need no more proof than that to know he is not a fiscal conservative. He is not looking out for the taxpayers of Michigan. And I have got grandchildren, six, who are now living in Michigan, and I want a better future for them.
Well, Cindy, on your website, I loved your website. It was very well done. You actually made three promises, three specific promises. What's the purpose of the promises?
Well, because that is what I am so tired of, feeling like you know who people are when you either campaign for them or vote for them. And then when they get in office, you think, how could they say they were limited government or a fiscal conservative, and they vote completely against that. So that is my promise, that I will filter my votes through the certain lens that is listed on my campaign statements called the compass, that will guide me into how decisions are made regarding legislation. And it won't be legislation that allows taxes to be raised, whether they're called fees or hikes or anything. I will not vote for something like that.
Well,
go ahead, Cindy.
I was going to say my other promise, too, is I think so often they get into office and they forget who pays their salary. And I came out of nursing. I was a registered nurse. You don't go into nursing unless you have a heart for people. And that is my other promise, that I will serve my district as a servant. And not to forget that they pay my salary and that I work for them. And I'm responsible not only to the voters in the 79th district, but also to all the taxpayers in the state of Michigan.
Wow. Well, I must say, Cindy, looking at your picture, and the very first time I met you, you said you were a grandma. Wow. definitely, I'm not going to get into it because Annie will start making some comments, but you got to see her in person, Annie. She ain't ugly. And speaking of that, out of the 86, if anybody of our candidates today is taking on the GOP machine, Angela Regas out of the 86 is taking on not only a career politician family, but her daddy was lieutenant governor and actually ran for governor. Angela, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
Great. Well, Angela, tell us a little bit about yourself and what made you decide to run in the 86 against the GOP machine.
Well, I agree with Cindy on so many issues of why I decided to run. Also, is the career politicians, they have to go. We need new blood in Lansing. We need honest folks in Lansing. I've been so focused on our federal government for so long, and I did not even pay attention to what was going on in my backyard. It is so corrupt. The career politicians are out of control. People are getting elected in, and they do not stick to their conservative platform. They are not held accountable to their constituents. I have not met anyone in the 86th district that actually supports Lisa Lyons. I have been so overwhelmed with support, with calls and messages and emails. Thank you for standing up for us. Thank you for representing the 86th district. I can't even believe it. I'm so overwhelmed, and I love it. I love the support because it speaks clear that the voters are ready for change. They're going to be heard loud and clear on election day. They've had it. It's time to get real conservative folks elected.
Well, I like the Facebook, Annie. Lisa Lyons has been, this is her fourth year in office. Angela has had her Facebook up a month. She's already surpassed friends that like her more than the standing one. I'm going to throw this question to both of you, and you know it because I've said it before, but I say this to every candidate that gets on there, and I always like it for the record. We'll start with Cindy Durant. Cindy, something both of you have just acknowledged. Everything you said, I like what both of you said. And I'll say this to Cindy Cindy Gamrat, and I'll say this to Wendy Linday. All right, now you're both state representatives. And as we all know, the fat cat comes and puts his arm around you and says, well, Cindy and Angela, let me show you how we're going to do things around here. We'll start with Cindy Durant. How do you respond to that? Because as we all know, many people, as you just commented, the person you worked for said the right things. But once they got in office, they tend to follow the fat cats.
Right. Also, not only with the money, but with future careers in politics, I have no aspirations for that. I tell everybody I have retired from one career as a registered nurse, and I am not interested in moving to the Senate or serving as Speaker of the House, as my opponent is running to do right now. And I am not interested in the bribe money that is paid to politicians. They can say it's not bribery, and a lot of it is done legally, but my opponent actually received almost $40,000 2 days after he voted for Medicaid expansion by the biggest company in the state of Michigan that will be managing Medicaid in the state of Michigan. Now, it's not illegal, but it's not ethical, and I do think that you can walk too close to the line with situations like that. You have to go in knowing what your principles are, knowing what your standards are, and then you have to know that you're not going to even go up to the line. You're not even going to go close to that line when it comes to accounting for your votes and accounting to the people who voted for you and the taxpayers of the state of Michigan.
Very well done. Angela Regas, how about you when the fat cat puts his arm around you? He's gonna love you, and he's going to say, come on, Angela, let me show you how we do things around here. Because, Angela, I mean, politics, as Cindy said, politics be a great career for you. House, Senate, Congress, what? Go.
Well, I was quoted a couple weeks ago at a speaking engagement. I was asked the same question, and my response was, it's time to take the fat cats to the pound. So I am not for sale. My votes are not for sale. You do not compromise on your morals.
So will both of you, we'll start with Cindy Drent, will both of you be very transparent online, revealing every vote you take in the manner Justin Amash does? And,
Yes. I have already pledged that to several different groups that have asked me that question. I love the way Justin Amash does it, and I am more than happy to do that. It serves several purposes. It, as you said, it keeps taxpayers informed, it's transparency, and it holds you accountable to the people in your district and the people across the state. I'm not in Justin Amash's district, but I follow his Facebook page because he informs me on what's going on, and I love that. There are several other House reps that do a pretty credible job of doing that also, and it's great education for the taxpayers, and it's a great form of accountability.
You know, I like that idea because here I'm in South Carolina, and there is a one state senator, Bill Taylor. I'm not in his district, but if there's an issue up on the floor, he puts it out there, and he just punches you right with the facts, face on, true conservative. And I like when someone does that. Even though you're not in your district, they're still letting everyone else know what's going on. And that's what I think makes a better government.
Right. If I would just interject in here, a lot of times the way the bills are worded, it is very hard to understand what the outcome of that bill is going to be, or as I call it, the unintended consequences. And it's good to have somebody, as Justin Amash does, give you his reason why he's not voting for a bill or why he is voting for a bill based on what the true facts of the bill are.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, because then the opponents go out and they say, oh, you didn't vote for the military because of this. But when you have someone turns around and goes, I didn't vote for the military because this bill was attached to it, this pork barrel bill was attached to it, and I could not honestly go for that. And that's what I like.
Right.
Yeah, and I like that too. Angela, how about you? Are you going to be transparent?
Well, what Justin Amash does on Facebook is what it should be the standard. It should be the standard because the people in Lansing are voting on our behalf, and they're not even telling us what the votes are. There's no communication in our own district between our representative and us, the voters, which we are her boss. And there's been no accountability. You have to keep the district informed to what is going on and any means necessary to get the information out, because you owe them. You owe them an explanation, because what you're doing in Lansing is changing their futures, their paychecks, their children's education, their health care. It's disgusting that people are making decisions for us without even holding themselves to us.
Okay,
Before
I throw it back to you, Annie, I'm going to follow up with another question directed at Angela.
Mm-hmm.
Angela, Lisa Posthumous Lyons is from my family of Republicans. She is the machine of the GOP. You know, you're a mom and you're starting your own little small business, cutting hair. You don't stand a chance. Why even bother? You're going to get killed.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to get killed. I'm going to win. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to win. Because the voters of the 86th are tired of the corruption, the career politician. They're sick of it. We need real people, regular people, people with all jobs, people of every background in Lansing, because we represent the real people in the state of Michigan. And that's what we need, and that's what we're going to get when I get elected.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because something
I put in my place.
No, Mike, it's like he got put in his place. But Mike, it's like I've been saying since the day I started broadcasting that it has to be a grassroots movement. It's got to start from the bottom up, from our town and city councils all the way on up through the state house and then up into the federal level. And this is exactly what these women are doing. I mean, we had our Tea Party meeting just this past Tuesday, and we have four county council seats that are up for reelection, and each and every one of them has a challenger, and I've never seen that before in all the years I've lived here. And I believe across the nation, people said Tea Party and conservative groups have lost their power. I think the exact opposite. I think we finally figured out where the fight is, and the fight is replacing these elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Quick question for Cindy Duran. You obviously worked for the person, or you obviously were a volunteer for the person that currently holds the office, and this is why you're running against him. At what point in time did you think, you know, obviously you disagreed here, you disagreed there. What point in time did you say, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm the person who's going to make a difference, and you got to tell me, what did your husband say? Because I tell you, I love your husband. He's like a brother to me. He is the coolest dude I have ever met in politics.
Well, it's kind of a funny story, and before I tell the story, I'm going to say that in my race, Lisa's up, or Angela's up against Lisa, which is a GOP machine. I'm up against the Upton machine, which Fred Upton, this is a whole Fred Upton area, and my opponent, Al Pashoka, has been brought up through the ranks by working for Fred Upton. So there's several of those machines out there that we have to work very hard against because they have lots of money. They don't have volunteers, but they have lots of money. When I decided to run, I had called my representative, Mr. Pashoka, on the health care exchanges because he voted for it, and he told me he voted for it because it was the most conservative way to vote.
Oh, God.
And I asked him what was conservative about it and how that could be limited government. And he said, if you don't like it, primary me.
Whoa! He said that to the wrong lady, didn't he?
Right. So now I say in my little speeches, be careful what you wish for, because it is coming true. Then when he voted for Medicaid expansion, you're going to love this one. He told me he voted for it because Rush Limbaugh told him to.
Oh, really? That was nice. Yeah. Was he having lunch with Rush?
I was actually sitting across the table from my opponent, so we were face-to-face. So there was no misunderstanding what he said. And I have a lot of experience working in Medicaid. So he was not willing to hear my experiences and the unintended consequences for the taxpayers, for patients on Medicaid. And he told me he knew more than I did because he sat on a committee for 5 months appointed by the governor, and that my 15 years in Medicaid nursing meant nothing. So
my
that
God,
was
last night in this debate I had, this is a quote from a city manager, a deputy, "We have never had enough taxes." I thought to myself, this is the easiest debate I've ever taken part in. I mean, people are thinking, did Mike bring this guy as a plant? That's what he said. But, I mean, this is that is amazing. It's good for you, Cindy. He said, you don't like me, primary you.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Let me tell you something. So what did your husband say this is going to be a great story here.
Well, I have a very supportive husband, and he is totally behind me, but I would say about once a day he says to me, "So, are you sure you want to do this?"
Angela,
it is a lot of work. It's great fun, but it's a lot of work.
Oh, we know this. Angela, so what made you decide to run, and you know, who did you consult? What did your husband have to say, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, of course, I consulted with my husband, Dave, first, which he's listening. So I just want to say, hi, honey. Thank you for your support. I appreciate it so much. He is so supportive with anything because he knows that I'm doing this for the right reasons. And I have been away from home a little bit, you know, more than usual. And it's for the greater good. It's for the future of our three kids. We have three boys, ages 4, 8, and 10. This is for them. And I see my husband and I as a team. I'm on the ticket, but he's right there with me. And that's exactly how I also see the voters of the 86th District. When they vote for me, they're right there running with me because we need to take care of this and we need to fix this in Lansing, and it starts now. It starts local.
Yeah, and just to let everyone know that links to your campaign sites and, Angela, your Facebook page are up on the episode page, and I've been posting them up also in the chat room. So if anyone wants to go to either one of your campaigns and give you a hand, you know, even if it's just $5, they can go to either one and get a hold of you and get this race rocking and rolling.
Well, we're doing grassroots campaigning here. This I don't have the big corporate sponsors. I have the residents within my district, $20, $50, $10, whatever. It adds up and it helps out tremendously. I've actually received support from some of my Facebook friends from Massachusetts, North Carolina, because they know that it starts. Changing the nation starts grassroots. And I wouldn't think twice about supporting someone in another state, because all of these offices, unfortunately, lead to D.C. And if we're going to make real change, we need to start now.
And that's very true. And matter of fact, there is a grassroots out there now that I'm involved in. I helped build the web page and get all the other social networks up there. But it's called NoRhino2016.webs.com. And there's a press release that goes out every single Monday, and it tells the GOP establishment, we have all these conservative groups. We're right now up to 45 conservative groups across the nation saying we're not putting up with rhinos anymore. And people are signing on to the petition. So if anyone else, I'm going to put a link up on there. So you may want to take a look at it and put your name on there and say no rhinos.
I think that's terrific. Cindy Durant, when you get sworn in, I'm going to be right behind that leader laughing very loud and make that statement. Okay, ladies, let's switch to the issue of life. Obviously a huge issue from Obamacare to Michigan Medicaid expansion. You know, I love how they call it Medicaid expansion. It's Obamacare is all it is. But obviously a big fight on whether birth control pills to abortion to et cetera to what is included in the health care as far as a woman's health. One of the things Annie, our Democratic nominee, has selected his lieutenant governor. She's running around with a shirt that says "Hands off my vagina." But anyway, obviously the right to life, pro-choice, whatever, is a huge, huge issue and growing with America's youth. We'll start with Angela on this one. Angela, where do you stand and give your story? Also, I'd like to welcome Sarge. Haven't seen him in a while in our chat room. And the political gangster of Michigan, David Wells. So go ahead.
Oh, David Wells. Hey. My view on pro-life is 100% pro-life, always. And I have to tell you, when I was younger, I never thought I wanted kids, ever. I did not have a good relationship with my mother, and I thought, I don't want to have kids, because what if I'm not a good mom? And I got pregnant with my oldest son, he's 10, and I remember at the doctor, one of the first things they said to me was, well, what are you going to do? I looked at him like, well, what do you mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to have a baby, hopefully. You know, it changed my world right then. And then now I have three boys. I've had several losses, miscarriages. Our son was stillborn 3 years ago. It really affected me. I just want to protect those little lives even more, because there's so many lives that we lose and we can't help it. But there's so many lives that we can help, and we just seem like we don't reach out enough to these women that and show them the love and the rewarding role of a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
it's hard for me to put it all in words, because it is a really emotional topic for me. So I apologize if I'm stumbling along a little bit, but you know, this whole issue of pro-life and protecting the unborn, it really hits home to me. It's really an emotional, so I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It's a great. And Cindy, okay, let me throw this to Cindy Durant. Cindy, what business is of yours if Mary Jane Doe wants an abortion? Why don't you just mind your own business and perform?
Well, I believe that life is sacred. It comes from God, and it is our duty as citizens of this country to respect and hold life as sacred. We see, again, those unintended consequences of our view of life over the past years, and it affects everything. We've got a state in our nation that is burning aborted babies to use as electricity. There is something wrong with a nation that allows that to happen. And I always say I believe in women's choice. There is a lot of options out there for women when it comes to birth control and family planning without resulting or without depending on abortion as a way of birth control, which unfortunately happens all too often. And as a taxpayer, I resent having to pay for abortions when it goes so against my belief as a Christian. It is just evil.
All right. Well, we've got a caller in on the line. Let me bring this gentleman in. He knows something about campaigning because he ran against Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So good afternoon, Joe Goldner.
How you doing?
All
hey,
right.
Hey, Joe, good to have you. Joe, you're with Cindy Durant and,
yes,
and Angela Regas.
Yes, I heard about them. I was listening to them, and I actually signed in on both of their campaigns to see if I could help out in some way. I know someone that actually runs a call center that actually fundraises for Tea Party candidates. So if they give me their numbers, I can resort them to those numbers to this guy, and he'll get in contact and set that up for you.
You know, Joe, it's something we had talked about just now is that for those who don't know, Joe's been a guest before. He really ran against a machine, not only at the federal level, but against Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And he saw how hard these people, basically any competition gets no funding if you run against the machine.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very, very difficult. This year we have basically two candidates running in the primary, Joe Kaufman and Juan Garcia, but Kaufman's doing better. He's outraising Juan Rivera about 4-1, but still a lot less than Debbie. But bottom line is that with today's news of Obamacare and the economy and what's going on in the Middle East and in Ukraine and elsewhere, everybody is up in arms. So if anybody could beat Debbie this year, we could do it this year. Now, as far as what she was talking about, abortions and stuff like that, that article about using it for energy for aborted babies, I posted that yesterday. It's outrageous. You know, and down here in Florida, we had Governor Scott's got to sign into law that protects the fetus. Basically, no abortions after 20 weeks.
That is, I can't even fathom that, Cindy Durant. What you said is, man, I cannot either fathom that. Jumping to another question for the ladies, obviously a huge, huge issue in Michigan, which is spreading. It basically went from state to state, is education and Common Core. Well, we'll start with basically Angela, whose pretty much campaign is to educate her district, the residents, the moms and the dads and everyone, on exactly what Common Core is. Where do you stand on Common Core, yes or no? And tell us a little bit about what you know. And Cindy Durant, then we're going to bounce to you.
Common Core is a big no. It is a federal takeover of education. It's a one-size-fits-all program. It is, they rewrite history. They're hijacking the truth. Tradition stories, they're cutting out literature. They're replacing 70% of literature with informational text, like the EPA manual. I don't need my children do not need to read the EPA manual. It's ridiculous. The reading standards are lower than what most schools have in place right now. And in Michigan, we have a lot of great schools. And in the 86th district, we have some of the best schools in the state. Hands down, the best. We win championships in athletics. We have great test scores, high attendance. We have awesome schools. And it kills me to find out that in Lansing, they're letting the federal government come right in and take over everything. Every child learns differently, and I don't know how they can honestly expect the children in my district to learn the same way as children in Florida or Oklahoma. It's insane. Every child is different, and we need to give it back to the teachers in the districts. They're on the front lines of education. I'm not an educator, and I'm not going to tell the teachers how to educate my children. They are the professionals. This really needs to be in their hands, because we've seen how great government is when they take over healthcare. They can't even get a website running up. How do they expect to run the education for our whole nation? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
That it is. We'll have Angela respond, but we also have a caller on hold that we'll bring on after Angela responds.
Wait, that was Angela. Cindy Duran
is
next. Nurse Duran.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I am very much anti-Common Core. Been speaking around quite a bit about it. I have been very surprised that when I asked for a show of hands from people, how many have heard of Common Core, a lot of people have never heard of it. So you've got this uneducated population out there, parents who don't even know what their children are being taught in schools. I had a meeting with some teachers a couple weeks ago, and the teacher didn't even know very much about the Common Core. And what most people don't understand is the Common Core was all part of stimulus money that was part of the stimulus package in 2008, and if schools or states applied for Race to the Top funding, they didn't read the fine print, because what happened, even if they weren't awarded the Race to the Top money, they were signed on for the Common Core. And so they didn't really know what they were doing, and it is so much entangled into the textbook industry and the standardized testing industry. I have a daughter that's a principal in Indiana, and it is a total mess for schools to try to deal with this, and then to have parents not knowing what their kids are learning is even a bigger travesty of the whole system.
Absolutely, that is a fact. And we've got our caller who's a blast from the past. Good afternoon, Sarge.
Wow. Sarge,
boy.
Welcome.
Cool Mike, man, whose other name is Iceberg Mike, because he's so doggone cool. And Southern Sense Annie, the paragon of sensible conservatism. It is indeed a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you very much.
I'm glad I'm wearing my
Sarge,
boots because it's getting deep here.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Sarge is not only a former veteran, but he is a former law enforcement person, which always makes me a little bit nervous. But he and I co-hosted long time with Jermaine for Conservative Primetime. But welcome, Sarge. We know what Sarge's opinion is on Common Core. That's like a high fat one over the plate.
Oh, man. Common Core is a high fat one over the plate. Yeah, definitely, man. It's more than that.
You know, we got to teach these kids. Someone's got to educate these kids. Sarge, Cindy, Angela, Joe, Annie, who's going to educate these kids? Come on.
Have you seen the method of teaching mathematics? It's essentially a bunch of estimates.
Yeah.
2+2 literally isn't 4. It depends upon, I mean, this is moral relativism carried over into mathematics. I didn't think they could do that, but they just did it.
My kids in ninth grade, and Common Core is down here, and it's like all graphs and stuff, and they don't care if you get the answers right, it's how you do it.
That's
and
amazing.
That's wrong.
Yeah, that is true.
Amazing. But, you know,
well,
I thought one
that,
of your...
They asked that kid on television, he says, I like the new math. He goes, 2+2 is 6.
Yeah.
What did he just say?
As long as you can show how you got it, they don't care if it's right or wrong.
Speak to she gave a really excellent answer for the Christian nation that the United States is. And make no mistake about it, despite the best efforts of Marxist secularists. It is a Christian nation. And she gave a perfect answer, perfectly suited for a Christian nation. But I would submit to you that the main reason to oppose most abortions, and I mean most, I mean like 98% of them, is one primary reason, that any legitimate government has a duty and an obligation to protect innocent human life. We've got a woman in Great Britain who says she is going to have an abortion because she wants to star in a reality TV show. And let us not forget another great liberal icon, Oprah Winfrey, said that the arc of her life would have been completely different if she hadn't had an abortion, which in essence means she wouldn't have been a big, famous, super-rich talk show host and TV star and movie personality if she hadn't sacrificed her child to the great god Moloch. Now, you know,
wow.
And, you know, when I hear this, I say to myself, we've got to reestablish transcendently objective moral principles, no matter whether you're an atheist, in that innocent human life deserves, demands the protection of government from arbitrary slaughter. We can't be afraid of that message either, because a lot of people are secularists, and one of the chief things they do as they try to make us believe this isn't a Christian nation is to disparage the notion of the argument that is Christian. Now, of course, that doesn't invalidate the Christian argument. As far as I'm concerned, it's...
Did we lose Sarge?
I think we just lost Sarge. And we also
lost Angela, it looks like. Well, Angela called back. I think she had a child throwing a little
tantrum.
Yeah,
sounds like a child.
Cindy Duran, let me ask you a question, okay? I mean, the big picture here in Michigan is, okay, we have a Republican governor, we have a Republican House, Republican Senate. I mean, it's conservative, everything's running smooth. I mean, you just kind of run into cause problems, or, I mean, Rick Schneider's... he's on Hannity talking about how everything's booming in Michigan and, you know, we can't even get enough houses built in Michigan. Taxes are so low, et cetera, et cetera. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think if you talk to business owners, you wouldn't get that same answer. If you talk to realtors, you wouldn't get that same answer. If you talk to seniors, you wouldn't get that same answer. If you talk to hunters and fishermen in the state, you wouldn't get that same answer. We're so close to Indiana here that we've got people not buying Michigan fishing licenses anymore because the cost has gone up so high. They can just stay in their own state. We have no-fault car insurance that is out of control. So where there was some real transformational reforms that started occurring in the state, it seems like they've lost their way now. They're going back to business as usual, the crony capitalist, the paybacks for previous votes, looking at ways to use up the surplus instead of returning it. To the Michigan taxpayer, we overpaid. It should come back to us. There should be a reform with that. There should be reform with no-fault car insurance. We shouldn't be paying the highest car insurance, almost the highest car insurance in the state. And you've got a state like Wisconsin. What did Walker do? He returned all that overpayment to the citizens of the state. And that's what we should be have happening here. Then we would have a booming state.
Okay, I'm going to throw this question. We have Angela back, but I'm going to throw this question back. Annie, you're not aware of this, but the biggest talk here now is Michigan is the fifth highest gas taxed state in the union, and they want to raise it, and they also want to raise sales tax, and it's for the roads. You know, if it's not the seniors or the grandparents or the veterans or the kids, for the roads. Angela Regas, welcome back. Yes or no to a gas sales tax for the roads? No problem. And then we'll throw it back down to Cindy, which is a huge discussion here because, obviously, in my city alone, we're trying to have an income tax strictly for the roads. So in favor, yes or no? Angela, we'll start with you.
It's ludicrous. As high as the gas tax is right now, our roads should be paved in diamonds. We pay so much for gas. And yet we're driving in potholes and bending our rims, and it's just, it's insane. They need to balance the budget in a way where they're not running out of money. It's got to go to the roads. That's where it's got to go. They rob different funds and move the money around, and they need to just leave it for the roads. That's what we're paying it for. That was the promise.
Well, it sounds like, sounds like my county council was over in your state house.
That county council of for those who don't know, any county council doesn't, they don't mix it. They don't just raise your taxes 5%. They double them. Just overnight, they don't mess around with just you know, your assessment went up $100. They really jack it good. But Angela, let me throw this, and we'll grab Cindy on that question to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
But Angela, your opponent, Lisa Lyons, not only is she from a political family, she has all this experience. She's politically savvy. I mean, come on, Angela, you're just a mom. You just cut hair. Come on.
Yeah, I'm not pretending to be somebody that I'm not. I am a self-employed mom. I'm a wife. And I think that's makes me a better candidate. I know the real struggles of everyday life in the middle class. I've been there. I've been very successful, and I've been very poor. And that gives me an advantage because I can relate to almost anyone in any room any day of my life. And I don't feel that the current representation we're having in Lansing can even relate to any of us, any of us
since
regular
folks. Since your candidate's been elected, have you met her? Has she been, have you gone to any of her town halls or anything?
I haven't seen any. I actually saw one that was posted in January in Caledonia, but I have to, this is the funny thing about it, is because I'm well-connected in my community. I know a lot of people, and I didn't know her. How do I not know her already? I've been to many, many functions, events. She's never been at any of them, and I can't figure out why.
Cindy Durant.
Yeah, I don't know where.
Sales tax, gas tax. Let's fix the roads. We need more money. We need to raise
the
taxes.
Yeah, we do.
Hang on, Joe.
Go ahead and answer. Joe, hang on.
Okay.
Cindy, go ahead and answer.
We just voted money to minor fix on the roads. And there again, it wasn't a straight vote. It was a straight item vote. They included all this other stuff in the vote. And in that bill. So you're paying hundreds of millions of dollars for a lot of other things besides the roads. I know that we pay very high gas taxes. And I know they take money out of there that is for the roads that doesn't go to the roads. So it either has to be rewritten so that it is specific, or there needs to be an audit on the taxes that are collected when we buy a gallon of gas, to make sure that it goes where it's supposed to go. But right now, I think it's written as such that they can take that money out of there and put it to education or put it to other things. And so we get farther and farther and farther in the hole, to speak, in the pothole. And let's look at other states to see what their best practices are. We're not the only state that has winter driving. Let's look and see what they do and how they maintain their roads. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can look at other states, see how they manage their gas tax and their road repair fund. But to pay the fifth highest gas tax in the nation and have the roads that we drive on, that is not cool.
All right. Joe
Goldner has the cure for we got Thomas on. But Joe, go ahead. How do we Joe's from Florida. I don't think they have income tax in Florida.
No, we don't have a state tax, income tax. The thing is, why don't you do a flow the bond issue or put a toll? A bond issue is where years ago, before all these taxes and everything was working, if you want to fix a road or build a bridge, they used to float what they call a bond issue, and the people in the community and cooperate stuff, they invest in it, and you get reward off the bond. But at the same time, money goes in and builds the bridges and stuff. it alleviates some of the taxes on the pressures on the regular people.
Yeah, well, as we all know, we don't have enough taxes. Thomas, welcome to the show. Thomas, our great friend from Missouri, if he's in Missouri this time. Thomas is a world traveler.
Good afternoon, Thomas.
Actually, I'm in Maryland at the moment, sitting in my room listening to you guys work while I'm working on a pretty cool event for June. But I thought I heard Sarge there for a minute.
Yeah, it's called Dropped. I haven't talked to Sarge in so long. And Sarge, if you want to talk about high taxes, he's from Chicago. Last night at this debate, there were students there, one from Chicago. And she actually made the comment, why is everyone complaining about gas being so high? She goes, it's 75 cents higher where I'm from. I'm like, jeez.
Wow.
I mean, you can never, ever, 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 no matter what, throughout the days of the czars, the kings, going back to the Sahara Desert, never have enough taxes.
Chicago leads the country in taxes, like 9%.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Grand Rapids, Michigan's trying to become a little Chicago. Let's throw it back to Annie. She'll have a question for our candidates.
Oh, man. Very simple. Angela and Cindy, you're pistol-packing mothers like I am. What is your preference?
I lost your words there for just a minute.
I said you're both pistol packing mamas. What is your preference for hardware?
Never asked that before.
Go ahead.
I'll be wearing my Ruger tomorrow at the gun show.
Okay.
Oh,
so. All right. Well, I got
okay. All right. So,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Cindy.
I was going to say I am fairly new to the gun owning population, so I am learning as I go. I completed my classes and have my license, and just started out with a pretty simple gun to make sure I knew what I was doing, so I'll be moving on up here as I get better and better at it.
Well, practice makes perfect. You know, my preference, though, because it's very easy to handle, it would be a revolver. I have a Ruger as well as a Smith & Wesson, but when you want something nice and compact, I have a little 25 I slip in my pocket. So I'm kind of, like, flexible.
All right, well,
okay,
I'm going to throw this question. I'm going to throw this question out. We're going to ask everyone this, and I see we get Sarge back. I can't wait for him to answer this, but we'll start with the candidates. Okay, I'm going to make a statement. You can reply to it. Surely there are just too many guns in this world. Politicians are elected to protect its citizenry. Surely we should be able to restrict guns in the hands of the wrong people, and surely there should be legislation so not to protect the poor and the weak, and more gun legislation, gun rights. We should have more legislation because it protects the citizens better when government regulates the Second Amendment. We'll start with Cindy Duran.
Wrong. I believe it's every citizen's duty to protect themselves. And I think it's interesting when you looked at a country like Switzerland, that was a law that they all had to be armed because they were so worried about World War II and about what Hitler was going to do. We should have that same concern for ourselves. I don't want, and I would never count on the government protecting me from anything or anybody. That is my job, my husband's job, and definitely not the government. I believe that when we give up our rights to gun ownership, then that really will be the demise of our country.
Angela Regas.
How many times did you say legislation on that question?
Well, the government knows. Goldner, you should even know this. The government knows what's best for us. Come on now.
No.
Angela, let's regulate this Second Amendment thing.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We have the right to bear arms. That is it. That is it right there.
Okay, for those who have never heard.
Is not the answer, because, and I'll tell you why. It's the stupidest argument and the most obvious argument in the world, and yet so many people are not bright enough to understand that if you outlaw firearms, the only people that have the firearms are the criminals. That is so common sense. Hit me in the head. Yeah.
You got it. Right on.
Gold, come on, Goldner. How can you say that? Down in your area, we have, what's his name?
Okay.
Zimmerman running around.
Let me give you two answers.
Hang on a second. Wait, Joe. Hang on. Joe, go ahead and finish, Angela, and then we'll go to Joe.
Well, I want to say the liberals and the Democrats consistently go after, we need this for gun. We need gun control. We need this control. We need Democrat control as far as the legislation goes. And I'll tell you why. Because the Democrats are gun grabbers. And look at the mass shootings we've had over the recent years. It's been an astounding number of shootings. They were registered Democrats. I don't know why. Maybe it's just in the DNA. I don't know. It's a mental problem. I don't know.
Well, Goldner, look at Goldner. We don't restrict this, Goldner. We got that Zimmerman running around, vigilante, and down in your area. What the hell's going on?
The Second Amendment, two things. One, the Second Amendment was put in there to protect the Constitution, the First Amendment. The idea was to go after the government when it gets too big. If the votes don't work, bullets will. That was that's what Joyce Coffin did. Got her in trouble. But what she meant was the Second Amendment was designed to protect the Constitution and protect us from tyranny. That was what it's all about. Now, as for gun control, forget it. Every city that has, or every place that has gun control, the biggest gun control city is Chicago, which has more deaths by guns than where we have soldiers killed in Afghanistan and also in Iraq. So, you know, gun control don't work. Because like they said, the criminals are the ones that will get it no matter what. So gun control does not work.
I think Alan Key said it best when he said the gun control people's fantasy is ruthlessly absurd. Whereas if you do that, you do exactly what Angela said. The people who break the laws, criminals by their very nature don't obey laws. Anyway,
right.
And for those who have never heard Sarge's opinion, ladies,
here we go.
Buckle up your chin strap here, Sarge.
Yeah, you better buckle them real tight. Look,
come on now, Sarge. President Obama's trying to help out here. You kind of
I'll get to him after
shoot up the town.
I'll get to him right after I address this issue that you just asked to be addressed, and that is 239 years ago, April 19, 1775, the Redcoats and the British Crown decided to conduct an exercise in gun control at Lexington Concord in Massachusetts. The Massachusetts militia met. The Redcoats came there to see the powder and the shot that was stored in the community armory there, and they were repulsed by militiamen who engaged them in a running gun battle all the way from Lexington Concord back to Boston, inflicting 79 dead and 143 wounded on them in the process. Those men were armed with weapons that were almost the exact equivalent, or in fact the exact equivalent, of what the British Redcoat was armed with. Why? Because they were militia. And the militia is a body of citizens organized for military purposes. I go one step further. It's not just criminals. Being armed against criminals is one of the incidental benefits of gun ownership. But the principal reason of it is so citizens can engage in military action against all enemies, foreign and domestic and governmental, when it is necessary. Meaning they should be armed with the typical light infantry arms that are issued to the army. And that's the individual arms I'm speaking of, selective fire assault rifles. Now, people call me crazy when I say that, but I really don't care because I've read what the founders meant. I've read the history of this, and I'm pretty much aware of it. It's not mainly against criminals. Again, that is an incidental benefit. Because we retain our arms in our possession, we can use them to defend against criminals. but it's really so we can engage in military actions where necessary against all enemies, foreign and domestic, like the militia in Lexington Concord did. We need to keep that uppermost in mind.
Absolutely.
All right.
And wow. Having driven the distance from Lexington to Concord and Boston, that is not just a small town next to each other. That is a huge distance. From Concord to Boston is approximately an hour ride by car.
I think people I think people like you and I and Sarge, had we been around then, we would have been the ones chasing them back to Boston, that's for sure. Okay, jumping back to the state issues, Medicaid expansion, Cindy Durant and Angela. Obviously, Obamacare is taking over in state after state. Very few states are saying no to all that lucrative cash. Where do you stand on the issue? We'll start with Cindy Durant, who is a registered nurse. For or against, positives and negatives? Cindy.
Okay. Well, I am totally against Medicaid expansion. As I indicated earlier, I worked solely in the Medicaid program for 15 years as a nurse. So I saw all those, again, unintended consequences. I saw a bureaucracy that was out of control. If people actually knew what their tax dollars are being paid for with the Medicaid dollars, they would revolt on Lansing and on the federal government, because a lot of it is federal matching dollars. And if anybody believes the federal government is going to make good on their promise, then they need to really think through that. And it doesn't matter. It's our money, whether it's federal taxes or state taxes. It's still our tax dollars. The other issue that most people ignore with Medicaid is that it provides such poor care for people receiving Medicaid. There's studies after studies done, particularly the recent one from Oregon, that the title of it is How Medicaid Fails the Poor. And it does. We've just had several hospitals in our area closing because they can't find doctors to take Medicaid. I had a doctor in our local hospital tell me he gets 7 cents on a dollar for Medicaid reimbursement. What person can stay in business making that kind of money? Not very many. So what you're going to see is less and less doctors to take Medicaid.
I think we're losing her. We keep fading
no,
in and
no,
out.
No, I still hear her.
Okay. Okay.
No.
Are you still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So that's the other side.
We're getting a lot
point.
Of background
it's,
noise.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Was that coming from Angela, the background noise?
Yeah, that was from Angela's phone.
Okay.
Okay,
so
we're going
in and out.
Thanks a lot, BTR.
Go
okay,
ahead,
I guess
the other side of the
I guess
coin
we're losing everyone
is,
here.
Angelo, Annie, we can hear everyone. Go ahead, Cindy.
Okay, that is the other side of the coin with Medicaid, is the poor health care. And so many people ignore that. So not only are we going to have, I think, millions and millions of dollars that our children and grandchildren are going to have to pay for this debacle in the state, but we're going to have people dying because they cannot find providers that are going to accept Medicaid. It's particularly relevant with children because there are very few children specialists that accept Medicaid reimbursement. And as I indicated, hospitals are closing. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're listening. Go ahead.
Okay. Hospitals are closing. We are in our local area. We had one Medicaid provider for dental care. He is now done because he can't afford it anymore because of Medicaid expansion. So there's two big issues with it. It is truly a disaster for our state, and it is definitely not limited government and conservative principles.
Well, Angela, as we bring you in on the issue, Governor Schneider,
yeah.
And in fact, your girl, Lisa Lyons, a kind-hearted state, a
mm-hmm.
loving state, which nurtures
yeah.
its resources.
Yes. Yes, and she also cast her vote for the Medicaid expansion because she felt it was a fiscally conservative. With the Medicaid basically, they are pushing the middle class into Medicaid, which, listening to everything that Cindy said, I mean, it's right there. I didn't realize the reimbursement to the doctors was that low. That is terrible. How are they supposed to stay in business? And if you're going to be funneling all the middle class into Medicaid expansion, that's a huge population that's going to have either no doctors or they're going to have to wait forever to get in to see a doctor. It's sick. And I think that they voted yes just because Washington said that they would give us the money to pay for it for the next 2 to 3 years. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. And I just don't understand what are we going to do when they stop paying for this, the federal government?
I think,
what is the state of Michigan
Cindy Durant
going to do?
Yeah, you're right. Cindy Durant said it the best. It doesn't matter what level of government it's coming from. It's from our pockets. So it doesn't matter if it's from the left pocket or the right pocket or our wallets. It's our money. A state representative out of my district said, we'd be crazy not to turn that cash down. It's from the federal government. I thought, this is a state representative.
It's money that has to be matched by the state, which South Carolina fortunately turned down the Medicaid expansion. But people also fail to realize the cuts in Medicare and how much that is hurting the elderly and the disabled. I mean, I was forced to go into a concierge doctor just to guarantee that if I pick up the phone within 24 hours, I'm sitting in my doctor's office. If I stay there just for Medicare, I can turn blue in the face before I get an appointment. So I have to spend extra money every single month. It costs me $3,300 a year just to keep my doctor. If I went by Obamacare, I wouldn't have a doctor. But I was forced into this. How many people out there that can't afford to do that? I mean, I'm scrimping at the end of the month because of that extra expense, but I'm finding a way to do it, and that's the hard part. How do you help the poor people?
Angela, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I know of a young man who was in college, and because he had to get health insurance, he actually dropped out of college. He couldn't afford to go to college because he had to work more to pay for the insurance that he did not want. That is
there's actually
terrible.
Somebody on Facebook posted that they make the poverty or under the poverty limit, and they said something. You know what, Obama, you know what the Affordable Health Care Act is if you make $10,007 a year? He goes, $10,008.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Another quick question, because as we're kind of winding down here, I'll start with Cindy Durant and then go to you, Angela. Fair tax, flat tax, or continue with the income tax, or do you have another idea, a great way for the government to be funded on revenue?
Well, I would like to see us start moving towards elimination of a state income tax. You look at states like Texas and Florida. Let's look at some of these other states and see what they're doing. I am not sure about the flat tax or the fair tax. I think we have to look carefully at those and evaluate them. But we definitely are giving people the wrong message, along with the state income tax and the federal tax, that we tax people's income and their productivity. That doesn't make any sense at all. It's definitely been a flaw in our system for a long time. So we need to move more to a consumption-type tax and get away from punishing people for making money.
Amen to
that. Angela.
That is excellent. That is excellent to me.
Well, I have to say
you're so good.
Go ahead, Angela. I was just going to say when we I'll let you reply, is there is a picture of Angela and Cindy right next to each other from the powwow.
Yeah.
So,
in that photo, she was giving me advice about if I should run. And she told me about the moment when she realized she had to. And I would know when I had the moment that I decided I was going to run. I was actually getting my nails done. And the gentleman doing my nails, him and his family moved here 10 years ago to be free. And he looked at me and he said, "You're not free here." And it made me I have to do it. I have to do it now because, you have these good people that come over here and, they're citizens, they vote, and they're realizing that it wasn't everything they thought it was going to be. And I feel really bad about it. One thing that we did touch on today, though, that I feel that is actually a very, very important issue that a lot of people are missing is the issue of states' rights. First of all, if the
well,
people in Landsaid
would, go ahead.
Well, here you go. If the people in Landsaid would stand up for the great state of Michigan, we would have never had Obamacare or Common Core, because it's nothing less than federal takeover, federal overreach. We're under siege by Washington, and we're letting it happen. If they want to throw a few bucks our way, yeah, we'll sell you our education system. Here you go. It's got to stop. We are Michigan. We're a great state, and we cannot continue to let this socialism slowly creep in, because before too long, it's going to be too late. We keep surrendering all of our rights over to the federal government. How do we get them back?
Gee, and you know, if you ever listen to those commercials with Jeff Daniels, it sounds like your state is the greatest state in the entire nation.
Well, it is a great state, and I think these ladies are running just for that reason. Speaking of that, Cindy Durant, we have not heard your opinion on states' rights.
Well, that is one of my promises that I made, that I will filter every vote through that issue on giving control away from the state, or from the state to the federal government. I think those are all the unintended consequences of Medicaid expansion, of the Common Core, of a lot of the legislation that is passed. I am so surprised that it is never a consideration of people when they vote. Our representative, my opponent, actually said with a great deal of pride at a meeting I was just at that we get 46% of Michigan's budget from the federal government.
Oh,
now,
as
a serving representative, I would have been embarrassed to say that. He was proud of that fact, and that is not something to be proud of. They can say jump, and all we can say is how hot. We lose all of our control over anything, and that is what you're going to see with the Common Core and with Medicaid expansion, because we're in to them for it. They can tweak that program any way they want, and we will have to abide by it because we get the matching dollars.
Well, amen to that. We're down to our last 6 minutes here, Mike. The show has gone really, really fast, and wanted to give our other callers just 30
let's,
seconds.
Let's give everyone. Yeah, let's start with Joe, and then we'll end with Angela and
Cindy.
Governor
Petrucci with the pension of the unions and the
We just lost Joe Golder right smack in the middle of the statement. So we'll bring up
I think Homeland Security is listening to this show today, and they're kind of messing with our brains.
I know. This is the third time I had to switch my headset. I had to go between my board and my telephone in order to stay on the show today. So,
Thomas,
you got 30 seconds.
Monday at 6 Central Time, the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed is coming back with a vengeance, and I have a superstar blockbuster interview with Jack Cashel, the author of Deconstructing Obama.
Oh, fantastic, Thomas. Remember to send that reminder.
Thomas.
Okay.
Always a fan and a very smart individual. Sarge, we'll give Sarge a minute and a half because, you know, with Sarge,
Sarge can't
just be 30 seconds.
Sarge, no way can ever do just 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sarge.
So,
Sarge, fall asleep? Oh, wow. Sarge,
yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. You don't want to get a condensed, Sarge. You want the full Monty. But look, I am going to be brief, and I just like to say that you ladies sound, and refreshingly so, like what you want or what you aspire to and what you are working toward is more liberty, not freedom. No,
yes.
I didn't say freedom. I said liberty, meaning relief and freedom from arbitrary and capricious, unconstitutional government control. We need more people who will speak to liberty, because we've completely forgotten that. Most people nowadays think freedom is the right for government to go in somebody else's pocket on your behalf. That's what they think freedom is supposed to be. It isn't. It's supposed to let you free to do your own thing, your resources, within the confines of constitutional freedom and with the legitimate police power assigned to the various entities and levels of government by the Constitution. And remember, folks, the three branches of government, I'm sure you ladies will tell everyone, the three branches of constitutional government are not judicial, legislative, and executive. They are, number one, we the people, number two, the sovereign states, and number three, the federal government with its various entities in roughly that order of precedence.
Well, whew, Sarge, it's great to hear from you again, and I hope I can't find Jermaine anywhere, but it's great to have you back. That's for sure. And with that being said and done, why don't we give, say, about a minute and a half. Cindy Durant, why should we vote for you, and give us your close?
Well, a vote for me is a vote for the people. As I say on my saying, it is about serving people, not serving the interest of Lansing. We have to change the mindset of the people who are representing us. We have to elect people who know that they are servants. They are not there to enrich their own pockets or enrich their own careers, that they are there to represent their constituents, the taxpayers of Michigan, that they are representing the people with a servant's heart, and that they are safeguarding not only their money, being good stewards of their money, but good stewards of the state of Michigan and the sovereignty of the state.
All right. Angela Regas, how about you?
A vote for Angela Regas on August 5th is a vote for all of the people of the 86th District to have a say and a voice in Lansing, which is what we currently do not have. My goal is to be completely accessible to the voters of this great district. I want to know all of them. I want to know what their needs are, what their wants, what is the struggle? How can I help? What can I do? What can I stop? Can I help stop from happening, you know, to this great state? We need to stand up right now. Michigan needs to stand up because we're getting run over by the federal government, and I'm not going to lay down and let Michigan become a nanny state like other states in this nation have become, because I know what's best for me and my own family. Because I'm an adult, and I don't need the federal government to make my decisions for me. And that's the road we're heading down is just, it's a scary road. It's a scary road for a mother of three small children that to think that liberty could die while I'm still around. And we have to preserve it. We have to preserve this. This is our great nation.
Yeah, it's a powerful statement.
And it makes me a little emotional because, you know, I'm dealing with education. I'm dealing with health care in our own pockets. I mean, our deductible is three times higher than it was. Our premiums are double. We're a middle-class family. I am not rich. I don't have a big political name, you know, to help me pay my bills. I work. I work hard. And some people think I'm a stupid hairstylist or I'm just a hairstylist. No, I'm a business owner, and I've run my successful business for 5 years to
all
the
right,
point
well,
where
to
I can
last,
work.
Hey, we got into our last 45 seconds here. So we
all right. Go on, Angela.
I know.
Angela
I'm fired
and Cindy.
Up.
You know, there was a time getting a word out of Angela. It was very difficult. But anyway, with that said, everybody, thank you. Annie, why don't you close the show?
All right. We'll be back here again Tuesday. And we're going to be having L. Todd Wood. He's coming back. He wrote the blockbuster book, Currency, followed by the following Tuesday, we have Andy Limbaugh, the cousin to Rush Limbaugh. He's got a new venture on there. And then later on, the end of the month, Doug Briney is coming out with a brand new song, and we're going to debut it before anyone else. So I want to hope everyone joins us back here again on Tuesday, same bat time, same bat station. And I want to thank everyone that was up in the chat room, all of our good friends and fellow hosts, Vito, he's got a show tonight, Kit Kat, Sarge, David Wells, and also
Have
Carol.
A good weekend, everyone.
Take care. Good night, and God bless you all.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. Get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense, the proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.